I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. We're going to find verse number 1. There are only 10 verses in this chapter, and we're going to read all but one of them. So Ezekiel chapter 2, I want you to find verse number 1. Once you found it, if you would stand with me, please. Ezekiel chapter 2. Starting with verse number 1, I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1, and it says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. When I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a scroll of a book was therein." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help us to be challenged and changed because what is said. Please help everyone to be still, and might they learn and listen. Holy Spirit of God, reach down from heaven and do a supernatural work in our midst. I believe there are people under the sound of my voice that are truly in the battle for the Lord. As a result of it, they have been challenged by the devil. They have been challenged by this old world. And I pray, God, tonight that we'd be better educated and better prepared to fight the battle for the Lord so that we might please you, that Jesus might be glorified, and that victory might be ours. Bless us tonight, Father, with thy Spirit's presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. Notice there in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse number 1, the Lord said to Ezekiel, he says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet." And then he said it in verse number 2. He said, "And the Spirit entered into me, and he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet." Basically, God said to Ezekiel, stand up there. As I was thinking about this when I was in high school, I went to a public school. I did not have the privilege of going to a Christian school. And in phys ed class, we played all different sports, but we played flag football, and they called it touch football. We hated playing flag football, and we hated playing touch football. You say why? Because football is intended to knock people around and to get knocked over. And so there were flags on the field, but we didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. And it was touch, but you can touch some people pretty hard if you want to. I was a captain of one team, and then there was a captain of the other team. My coach, his name was Mr. Stanley. He was a born-again Christian man. He knew I was a born-again Christian. And I got to be the captain of one team. And Mr. Stanley often would pick me to captain different things in our phys ed class. Well, I had ended up with the ball, and I got to throw the ball, and everybody was watching the ball. And when everybody was watching the ball, man, a guy's helmet hit me right in the gut, knocked me down. I was wanting to make sure that my receiver caught the ball, and everybody was watching that end of the field, and the guy just came through that line and put his helmet down, and he touched me. He reached out and touched me with that helmet and hit me in the gut. I went down, and brother, I was sucking air. I mean, I was laying on the ground going, "Huh, huh, huh." Well, Coach Stanley, He was relatively protective of my Christianity. He really wanted me in the public school to be a leader among the men, which I really appreciated. Well, boy, it didn't take too long until there was a group of players all around me, and I was on the ground, and I was still sucking air, and it was getting pretty serious because there wasn't a whole lot of air getting to where I was trying to suck it to, and I was just doing this, and I remember looking up at the coach, and he wasn't trying to be mean to me. He knew all the boys were watching, and he said, "Owens, stand up. Stand up." And I'm thinking, shut up, man, I can't even breathe. But I knew what he meant. He was saying to me, all these people are watching you, and you need, right now, you need to get up. You need to stand up. And I knew what he was saying, and I was looking up at him, and he was looking down at me, and he said it again. He said, "Owens, stand up. Stand up." And you know, I knew at that moment I needed to stand up. And so I mustered up enough strength that I got myself up. And I want you to understand, standing up didn't get any more air where it needed to go than laying down did. So I guess I wasn't any further behind. But have you ever gotten the air knocked out of you to the point where you couldn't figure out how to get it started again? But finally, I caught my breath. And the fact that I stood up, they all knew I took that helmet to the stomach, and they all knew that it had virtually knocked the wind out of me. Believe it or not, my standing up, when it was hard to stand up, it meant something to all those young men that were standing around me. My coach knew that they needed to see me stand up when I was hurting, and stand up when it was hard, and stand up when maybe the easiest thing was to lay down. I could not ever stand the thought of them carrying me off the field. I just believed you need to walk off the field under your own strength or your own power, but I'm glad that I stood up when I did. The passage of Scripture that I just read to you, I don't know what was happening. I do know that Ezekiel must have been down, whether he was kneeling, been knocked down, or whatever it was, but God says to Ezekiel, stand up there on your feet. And in all actuality, he basically said to Ezekiel, stand up there like a man, Ezekiel. Stand up there. God challenges him to stand up. Rise up before the challenges that are set before you. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that Ezekiel is submitted to the Holy Spirit, and he receives the challenge, and he gets up. And God said, now, Ezekiel, you stand up there, you get up there, you get up on your back feet, and you get up no matter how hard it is, and I'm gonna use you to influence my people. And God even then describes the people to whom he is sending Ezekiel, and he's telling Ezekiel, now you stand up because I've got a tough job ahead of you, and let me tell you about the people, Ezekiel, that you're going to face. And if you were listening as we were reading the Scripture there in Ezekiel chapter 2, this is how God described the people that Ezekiel would now influence, that he would lead, that he would try to make a difference in their lives. He said they're rebellious. And God didn't sugarcoat it. He said they're rebellious. He said they're impudent, meaning they show a bold disregard for others and a bold disregard for what's right. Said they're stiff-hearted. Said they may or may not listen. Then God says, I'm going to tell you, Ezekiel, how to react to these difficult people. He said, now what you need to do, Ezekiel, you need to stand up and realize you face a tough situation, and let them see and let them know by your behavior that they have come in contact with a true Christian. Ezekiel, you let them see by the way that you behave that they have finally met a real man and a man that loves God, and let them see that you have some ability and some leadership. God said, Ezekiel, no, don't you be afraid of them, and don't you be afraid of what they will say to you. Don't you be afraid of what they will say about you. God uses the terms. He says, you're going to, Ezekiel, as you're trying to help these people in this generation of yours, their briars and thorns will come your way. Say, what does that mean? Well, they're probably going to stick it to you. He said, you're going to be walking among scorpions. What does that mean? Well, a scorpion is poisonous. And he's saying, Ezekiel, stand up there and go help these people, and they're going to be tough to help. And they will, maybe they'll try to poison your reputation or poison your attitude. He said, now, don't let their looks get to you. You go ahead and you teach the Bible and live the Bible and do what's right, no matter what they do. And then he actually calls them a most rebellious generation. Not just rebellious, but most rebellious. He said, now, whatever you do, don't you, Ezekiel, become like them. Don't lower yourself to the way they do it. You do it my way. And so God came to Ezekiel. He said, get up there. Stand up there like a man. Now, you're going to face some challenges, but I want you to influence this generation. But if you're going to do that, you're going to face some tough times. And whatever you do, don't let them whittle you down to their type of living. But you stay up and do right no matter how they behave. And God is saying, influence them in a mature Christian way. Act like a spiritual adult. Live like a spiritual adult. Hey, be a grown-up in your Christianity. You're going to, and folks, let me tell everybody in here, in a church like ours, we're not just playing church. We're trying to reach our generation. We're trying to change lives. We're trying to salvage people and their lives. Well, in a church like that, the devil targets a church like that. The devil's not happy with a church like that. A church that is lame and uninterested and basically interested in self-entertaining. God's not worried about a bunch of Christians meeting with no purpose. Well, our church has purpose. You say, what's its purpose? We want to get everybody saved that we can. We want to change every life that we can. We want people to change their lives and start living right. And when you start doing that, that bothers the devil. And the more greatly you are used for God, the greater then it bothers the devil. And so he'll then want to intimidate and challenge a church of that sort. You're a part of a church that wants to get something done for God. The devil then, he's going to take some shots at you. The closer you are to the battle between good and evil, the more the risk that you take of possibly being wounded or getting into the fray of things. And then that means the devil wants to discourage you. And that means the devil wants to distract you. That means the devil wants to disillusion you and depress you. So let me warn you, all of us, we need to stand up like mature Christian adults. And we need to face the fact that we live in a very difficult generation. And we need to decide that we're going to survive it. And we're going to, in a very mature way, do the task that's set before us. And that is to try to keep people out of hell and to try to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to keep making a difference. And so, as you read through the passage in Ezekiel chapter 2, you find that there are some things that God says to Ezekiel about standing up and virtually surviving the difficult situation that Ezekiel faced. And so I thought, you know, if God said, Ezekiel, stand up there and go get something done for me, I think the Bible was written for you and I. It's not just a history book that we can find out what happened years ago. It's a book of instruction. And what happened years ago, it could happen again if it were a revival, a positive. Hey, God's not dead. And it might be that the things that happened years ago could warn us today. So we were careful. You know, we're fighting the same devil that Ezekiel had to fight. We're living in the same world in which Ezekiel lived. And so, if you'll give me just a few minutes of your mental attention, I want to talk to you about this idea of stand up. Stand up. Like a Christian, stand up and make sure that you survive the battle. Keep influencing people. Keep trying to reach people. Keep trying to keep people out of hell. But I've got to tell you, there are some things that if we're careful of them, that we will last in the battle. I don't want to see anybody here end up on the sideline. I don't want to see anybody here being backslidden and out of church and useless for the cause of Christ. So as a result of it, let me give you some things. Let me give you some areas or some warnings about this thing of standing up for the cause of Christ. For instance, stand up and face the hardships of life with some spiritual dignity. To every Christian here, stand up and face the hardships of life and do it with Christian dignity. When God spoke to Ezekiel, he said, stand up, Ezekiel. And then he used these words. He said, so they know there has been a prophet among them. You know what he was saying? Stand up there, Ezekiel. Now you face some tough times, but you face them in such a way that people are going to say, you know what? That guy right there is a man of God. That guy right there, he truly loves God. Ezekiel was facing some challenges. Ezekiel was possibly facing some hardships or some burdens. But let's show them what a real Christian is like. Now, hey, Christian leader, those of you in the church, we have Sunday school teachers and bus captains and ministry leaders and people that are reaching out and trying to reach others. You're going to face some discouragement if you're going to try to become productive for God. But let me encourage you, when that discouragement comes, stand up and face it and let people see that that discouragement is not going to stop you from serving your God. Discouragement will come your way. Fighting battles. Hey, you fight a battle and then you turn around and you have another battle and then you turn around and you fight another battle. That could wear you down. If you're not careful, fighting battles in life can wear you down. Constantly holding the line can cause you to become a little weak. But folks, listen, there is a reason why we face some battles. You know, we face some battles because the devil's trying to stop us. May I encourage everybody here, stand up, and when you face battles, don't you let them stop you from loving God. Don't you let those battles stop you from being faithful to God. Don't you let those battles get you off track. The devil would love for some of you to get in some battle, and then that battle draw you out of church, and that battle draw you out of God's will, and that battle draw you away from your ministry. Before long, you quit this ministry, quit that ministry, give up on this, give up on that, and before long, you don't even realize it, you're backslidden. Now you're missing church more often. It used to bother you when you missed church. It doesn't bother you so much anymore. Hey, it ought to bother you. You say, but I'm facing some hardship. And God said, Ezekiel, you're going to face some hardship, but don't drop the ball. Stand up there. You say, but I got the air knocked out of me. I've been there. The coach said, get up. And I wanted to say it's hard, but he said, get up. Hey, get up, Christian. You say, I'm facing a battle. I took a sucker punch to the stomach. Get up. Stand up there, Christian. You've got to keep on going. Do you know that Elijah stood alone against 850 false prophets? Wicked Jezebel was trying to destroy him. But Elijah let God refresh him. He made it through that battle. So, when discouragement comes, leaders, stand up and face that discouragement with some spiritual dignity. Don't stay down. You know, not only does discouragement come our way, you know, sometimes just slow or minimal productivity, that can work on you. You know, you're a Christian and you're trying to reach people and you're trying to build a Sunday school class or trying to build a ministry or trying to build a bus route or trying to build some of your converts up in the Lord, and you work at it 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 and you invite people to church and you invite, but hardly anybody comes. And you know, after a little while, you say, you know what? I put in big work and I see little results. Well, let me tell you, that's been happening for a long time. That's nothing new. Such was the case with Jeremiah. Many years Jeremiah worked, and he seen very little results, to the point where the prophet Jeremiah said this. Listen to what Jeremiah said. He said in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. That's the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah came to the point, look right this way and pay attention. Jeremiah came to the point where he said, you know, I tried and tried and tried. Right now, the way I feel, I'm never even going to mention God again. But the verse didn't stop there. It goes on and says, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire. shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. You say, what did that mean? He said, I had worked and worked and worked, and I didn't feel like I was getting anywhere, and I was to the point where I was ready to throw my hands in the sky and say, I'm not even going to try anymore. He said, but I knew what God's Word said, and I had it in my heart, and it started burning in my heart, and I could not talk about Him. I had to talk about Jesus. Now, let me tell you something, folks. We all need to stand up when we face the hardships of life, and when we get discouraged, we need to keep on going. And when we work hard and we don't feel like we're getting anything done much, we don't feel like we're making progress, don't stop working. You say, well, I worked at my bus route, and I just don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. Don't stop. Hey, look, I was a bus captain when I was 16. I've been around a lot of bus captains through the years. It does not come overnight. You just hang in there and hang in there and hang in there. Brother Dave, when you started your route, started out pretty slow. There were weeks and weeks where we couldn't get anybody to come and didn't get anybody to come. But you know what? You watch that bus route pull in now. And there are riders on there and people getting saved and lives being changed. And it doesn't always come easy. And you say, but I worked at it and worked at it and worked at it. I think that's exactly what Jeremiah said. I think the prophet Jeremiah said, I tried and tried and tried, and I was to the point where I was ready to say, phooey, I'm not even going to talk about it anymore. But thank God he came to his senses, and he said, I could not ignore my responsibility. But not only does discouragement come, not only would people face the thing of trying and seemingly not being productive, but you know, sometimes we when we're trying to serve God, we face rejection. Boy, I hate rejection. You know, when people just flat out say no, and they're not going to do it. Do you know Samuel, the great leader in the Old Testament? He faced that. Let me read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. It says, and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Here's what happened. Samuel was the prophet, and the people said, Samuel, you're old, and to us, you're worthless. We don't want you. Get us a king. Now, I got to make you understand something. Samuel was the primary leader in the country, and the people are going around saying, we don't want you to lead us. Get us a king. You think there's a possibility that Samuel felt rejected at that moment? He sure did. Now, I got to tell you, it never was God's plan to give them a king. He never did want them to have a king. That's not how God wanted it, but Samuel was rejected. They wanted a king. And so Samuel faced rejection. Do you know what God's answer to it was? Samuel said, God, that's pretty heavy. They just said they don't want me anymore. And God said, Samuel, don't worry. He said, it's not you they're rejecting, it's me. And folks, when you feel rejected by Christians you're trying to pull back into the church, and when you feel rejected by the lost when you're trying to receive them, I want you to understand something. It's really not all about you. It's not you they're rejecting. It is the great God of the universe. Hey, you're not the Holy One. He's the Holy One. The person they've got a problem with is the Holy One. And so, God said to Ezekiel, he said, stand up there. When you face hardship, stand up there. You stand up when you're discouraged and keep on going. And you stand up when you work and you don't feel like you're getting anywhere. Just keep going forward. And he said, stand up when you get rejected and you keep on trying. But not only did God say to Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 2, stand up at the time of hardship, he said, stand up when the possibility of the fear of man gets involved in your life. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 6, it says, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though their briars and thorns will be with thee. And thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Here, he said, look, you're to stand up, and don't let your fear of man stop you from doing the work of God. He said, don't be afraid of their words. Now, folks, have you ever heard the verse from Owens chapter 2, verse number 1? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. People are going to throw words at you, but don't let words stop you from serving God. Don't fear them sticking it to you through the briars and the thorns of life. You may dwell among the poisonous scorpions. And he mentions the fear of words twice in this thing. Don't be dismayed at their looks. I wish all of you could pastor for just a short time. I wish you could pastor and get up and preach on certain sins and preach on certain things and watch the faces people make at you. Have you ever seen a baby that's sucking on a piece of lemon? We take our kids out. We go to a restaurant, and it doesn't cost much to get entertainment at our house. You just put that baby in that high chair, whack a lemon in half, give it to the kid, let him start sucking on that thing, and oh, the faces that baby would make. And it just looked like there was something terribly wrong. But let me tell you something. God told Ezekiel, he said, look, while you're doing right, and while you're teaching right, and while you're going the right direction, you're actually going to have people, they're going to make faces at you. Hey, you're going to have folks, you're going to have people turn their nose up at you. You're going to have people, they're going to roll their eyes at you. Brother Ellswick, I'm just sure, being in the youth department, you have it all the time. You're trying to tell a group of young people to be moral and to be clean and to do right. You preach against rock music and all the things of life that will destroy them. They'll roll their eyes. They'll snicker. They'll laugh and they'll mock. Let me show. But God said, Ezekiel, you stand up. You stand up and don't you let their face and don't you fear the way they behave towards you. God warned Jeremiah of this very same thing. Listen to this. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You know that Jesus, in Matthew 10:28, he said, and fear not them that which kill the body. See, Jesus said, look, there are going to be people, and if you're not careful, you'll be afraid of them. If you let fear paralyze you, you won't get the work done for God. Hey, bus captain, don't let fear stop you from knocking on that door. Hey, soul winner, don't let fear stop you from going out there trying to reach somebody. Hey, as we're trying to invite our neighbors and we invite our friends and our family and our workmates, hey, don't let fear stop you. Don't let fear stop you. Jesus said, fear not. God said to Jeremiah, fear not. God said to Ezekiel, don't let fear stop you. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. You know what that's saying? Fear is a paralyzer. Fear will paralyze you. Some of you, you grab you some gospel tracts and you intend to pass them out. You go to pull one out of your pocket or your purse, and all of a sudden you fear the person you're going to hand it to. Don't you let the devil psych you out. Go forward for God. Stand up. And don't let fear paralyze you. Stand up and make sure that when hardship hits you, you've decided to go forward for God. You know, it was Peter that let fear paralyze him. You remember when Peter was following Jesus and Peter met at the fire where there was a lady or two and they asked Peter, hey, aren't you with Jesus? You know what Peter did? He denied that he knew who Jesus was. He denied it. What happened? Fear. Fear got the best of him. You know that in the Old Testament, Abraham let his fear of man hurt his leadership while he was in Egypt. Abraham had a wife, and she was a beautiful woman. Abraham let fear cause him to tell everybody his wife was his sister. And he did that out of fear. Now, I'm guessing that probably didn't go over real good at supper that night anyway. When you go, hey, look, when your wife's standing there and everybody says, now, who's this woman? Say, that's my sister. I'm sure that she really enjoyed being referred to as sister, especially when he patted her on the head and said, come on, sis, let's go home. I'm telling you, fear is a paralyzer. The fear of man. Don't fear. Go forward. Stand up. Be counted as a Christian. Carry yourself with some spiritual dignity. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let the discouragements of life stop you. Then, God said to Ezekiel, he said, stand up there and be a good example. Just be a good example. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, it says, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. You know what he's saying? He said, now, Ezekiel, you stand up, you be counted as a Christian, you get the job done for God, and don't be like the rebellious generation. So if they're not going to be like the rebellious generation, they are then to be an example of a submissive generation, submission to God. Hey, folks, we deal with backslidden Christians, or we deal with lost people, and they're rebellious, and they're hateful, and they're unkind. God said, while you're out there living among them, while you're out there working among them, while you're out there trying to reach them, don't start acting like them. Be different. Be an example. Hey, folks, rebellion is contagious. This morning in my Sunday school class, I was teaching from, of course, 2 Kings like everybody else, but I got to talking about the disease of leprosy, and it's very contagious. Well, let me tell you, leprosy is contagious, but rebellion is also contagious. But to every Christian in here, you start running with rebellious people, you'll end up being rebellious if you're not careful. And God said to Ezekiel, he said, now Ezekiel, stand up there, and whatever you do, you be a good example to the rebellious ones. Don't you start becoming like them. Don't lower yourself to their behavior. Folks, we are going to live in this world, but we're not to live like this world. We're going to live among a rebellious people, but we're not to be a rebellious people. Moms and dads, let me give you some of the best advice you've ever heard. You ought to know who your daughter is spending time with. You ought to know who your son is spending time with. And you ought to want them to be around submissive Christian people. Nothing will destroy a teenager faster than to be running around with a bunch of rebels, whether at school or at church or anywhere. But he said, Ezekiel, stand up there. Don't you become like them. Be an example in this world. You say, but Pastor, boy, this is a rough world. I go to the public school. I've got to go down to the shop or the factory and work. Boy, there are some nasty people down there. Well, you let them be nasty and don't be playing with your telephone during church. You go down there where they are and they're nasty, but you don't have to be nasty. You may have to go where rebels are, but you don't have to live like rebels live. Moses made a mistake. He dealt with the rebellious people in the wilderness so long. And a long time he dealt with them. And if you know anything about Moses trying to lead those people, every time you turn around, they were griping and complaining and dissatisfied. He kind of let that guy, it got the best of him at one point. He dealt with a dissatisfied, angry people. And what happened is they so influenced Moses. At one point, he threw a temper tantrum with God. He took a big stick out, started swinging around, beating on things. You know what had happened? He'd been around a rebellious group, and he had lowered himself, and he began to act the way they were acting. Now, you listen to me, folks. I don't care what all the other so-called Baptist churches in the area want to do. We ought to be different. We ought to be different. Not everything that calls itself a church, and not everybody that calls themselves old-time fundamentalists are truly that. Oh, boy, they're giving up their standards and giving up, and they're going to all sorts of bad music and bad Bibles and everything else. Look, hey, you and I, we ought to be a good example of what the old-time religion is, no matter what every other church in Craven County wants to do. Hey, let's not become like them. You know, we're not to let the other churches in our area set the standard for what we are. You say, well, I feel like we're the best church in the area. We're not trying to be the best church in the area. We're to be the best church we can possibly be. We're to follow the Bible the best that we possibly can. It's not just a matter of being the best one in the area. You know, you could be the best one in the area, and if all the rest of them are crummy, you may not be saying much for yourself. God was warning Ezekiel. He said, listen, you have a constant walk with God, and whatever you do, don't you become like them. Stand up and be different. Stand up and work your way through the discouragement. Stand up and don't you let fear stop you. They were rebellious, but don't you become rebellious
like them. Boy, he says they were impudent, but he said, don't you become impudent. He said they were stiff-hearted, but don't you become stiff-hearted. They won't listen to scriptural reasoning, but don't you be like that. Don't start making rebellious facial expressions, and don't backstab people. Don't speak poisonous words. Look, folks, if the followers are harsh, and if the lost are harsh, and the backslidden are harsh, you and I still need to lead and love the way that God would have us to love. And so, he said, Ezekiel, stand up. Stand up there like a man. Stand up. He said, now, first of all, you face the hardships of life with some dignity, and you keep on going no matter how hard it gets. He said, Ezekiel, you stand up there. Don't you let your fear of man stop you. He said, Ezekiel, you stand up, and you be an example. Don't you become like them. You be like God. Boy, in a day and age where everything religious is clumped together and everything's okay, we've got to stand for God and the old-time religion. We've got to be an example. I'm finished, but don't miss the last point. He said, Ezekiel, you stand up, and when you walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit of God. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2, it says, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. It says, and the Spirit entered in. That means Ezekiel allowed it. He said, the Spirit of God spoke to me. And when the Spirit of God spoke to me, I was willing to be controlled by that Spirit. Ezekiel's ears were tuned in to the Spirit's words. He said, and actually he says there, and set me upon my feet. In other words, God said, Ezekiel, stand up. Kind of reads him the riot act, gives his instruction. Ezekiel said, the Spirit spoke to me, and it says, and set me upon my feet. And what that means is, Ezekiel heard the challenge to stand up, stand during discouragement, stand in spite of fear, stand, if you will, and be a good example. And that challenge came, and Ezekiel said, I know how I can live that challenge successfully. I'll submit to the Spirit of God. The Bible says the Spirit of God helped him to stand up. Now listen, you are not going to fight your way through the discouragements of life and keep a good testimony. You're not going to do that in the flesh. You are not going to overcome the fear of man in your flesh. You are not going to be a good example in the flesh. So what do? You submit yourself to the Spirit of God. Ezekiel said, I heard him. In other words, he was listening. And the entire rest of the text is all about the Spirit of God strengthening Ezekiel so he could do what? Stand up. Stand up. Let me tell you something, folks. Nobody who is filled with the Spirit of God has ever had a nerves breakdown. I'll guarantee you that. You say, why? The Spirit of God will stabilize you. When you're all freaked out, there's an absence of a power that you need. You're down, and the Spirit of God will get you up. The Holy Spirit is like it's an energizer. It's a vitamin pill. The Holy Spirit can sustain your spirit. It says in Ezekiel 2:9, it says, and when I looked, behold, and a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. Here's what happened. God said to Ezekiel, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up and face discouragement and keep on going. And I want you to stand up and face your fears and keep on going. I want you to stand up and live as an example in this day and age. And I'm sure God could read Ezekiel's heart, and Ezekiel probably said, how in the world am I going to do that? I'm weak. And God said, you don't do it in your power. You do it in my power, and I will give you the Spirit of God so you can stand up like a man and live right and do right and act right and face your enemies and face your own demons, and you can survive and you can make it and you can take it, and you can have a good attitude, and you can have a successful life, but you are not going to do it on your own. Now, Christians, the reason some of you run in fear is because you're not filled with the Spirit of God. And Christian, the reason why some of you are a bad example, you act like the world. Some of you come into church and you give us the Holy Joe idea, but you go to work and live like the devil and act like the devil and listen to the filthy jokes and run around with people you ought not be spending time with. The reason you're failing is you are walking in your flesh and not walking in the Spirit. The reason some of you teenagers come in here and you give the impression you love Jesus and you go to school on Monday and you're acting like an animal, you've got things hidden in your home that you ought not have, you're on the internet doing things you should not, you laugh at me when I'm preaching like this, and some of you young ladies, you're backslidden, and you know you are, and the reason you are is because you walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. You'll never overcome the hardships of the spiritual life on your own. You must realize there is a Spirit, a Holy Spirit, that will strengthen you and help you to succeed. Overcome your fears. Work through your discouragements. Become an example. Don't be like the world. Help me, ushers. Don't be like the world. You're not supposed to be like the world. Ezekiel submitted to the Holy Spirit. He looks up and he sees a hand coming to him. Boy, there's nothing like God's helping hand. You say, I'm not sure I can do it, Pastor. You won't do it on your own. You won't be a good example on your own. You won't overcome your fears on your own. You won't overcome your discouragements on your own. But when you see that helping hand, that's the Spirit of God that said, stand up. Stand up, I'll help you. God's helping hand will strengthen you. You see, the Holy Spirit will stabilize you. The Holy Spirit will strengthen you. The Holy Spirit will energize you. The Holy Spirit will protect your decisions. The Holy Spirit will give you insight. You know, folks, you know, I never fear dealing with a contrary church member that I know is filled with the Spirit of God. I'm almost panicked in dealing with people that are full of themselves and full of the flesh. There's no spiritual reasoning with them. Do you know something? You deal with a church member that's walking in the Spirit, makes all the difference in the world. You take a husband and wife. You just both be filled with the Spirit of God. All the junk in your marriage would be fixed. Nothing like dealing with a son or a daughter that is walking in the Spirit. But when you got to deal with your son or daughter that's in the flesh, you walk on pins and needles. Nothing like having a friend that is submissive to the Holy Spirit. It's great to have a friend that's in submission to the Holy Spirit. Boy, just get a friend that's walking in the flesh. What a mess you can have. They're offended every time you turn around. Look, folks. If you were walking in the Spirit, you wouldn't be offended every day of your life. You wouldn't gripe constantly. It wouldn't constantly be, I don't like this, I don't like this, this is going wrong, that's going wrong. If you were walking in the Spirit, you'd have a totally different attitude. I'll guarantee it. I never fear dealing with a parent about their rebellious teenager if the parent is walking in the Spirit. But you give me a parent that is in the flesh and try to deal with them about their rebellious child, they're just like their child. They'll get in the flesh, it's everybody else's fault, my kid's okay, you're wrong. Walking in the flesh will cause you to follow the world's example. It'll cause you to fear man instead of God. It'll cause you to go through your hardships acting like an animal, hateful, spiteful, full of revenge. But walking in the Spirit will help you to face your challenges in a dignified spiritual way. You'll not have the fear of man because you have the power of the Holy Ghost of God upon you. You will not find yourself in a mess in regard to your life. You will live an example that will change your life and the lives of others. I love the passage of Scripture. God looked down and said to Ezekiel, stand up! Stand up! And he was telling him, you stand up and act like a mature Christian. Get up there and do what you're supposed to do. Don't lay there on the ground and act like the world. Stand up. Oh, we sing the song, stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Folks, we all need to learn to stand up in a spiritual and a dignified way for the cause of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, we welcome you to the Savior. You need to be born again, you come. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Is there anybody here tonight under the sound of my voice that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I need to be born again. Pray for me. And you would raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not saved. Pray for me. Then may I go to this. Every Christian here, those of you that are born again, do you need to stand up? You say, I'm intimidated. I'm not sure I can be the example. I'm not sure I can get rid of the fears. I'm not really sure I can work through my discouragements without behaving like the world. Oh, you'll do that by your submission to the Holy Spirit of God. You'll do that by letting the Spirit of God control you. Folks, we make a mess of our lives when we're in control of them. Our lives are in good shape when they're in submission to the Spirit of God. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, as a Christian, I see I need to stand up, let the Holy Spirit control these areas of my life so I can succeed as a Christian. Would you put your hand up and let God see it? We're going to have a brief altar call. It won't take long. Some of you, you may need to stand up, come down here, get on your knees for a second, and say, I need to submit to the Spirit of God so I can succeed as a Christian in a very difficult generation in this world. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. There are some teenagers in here. You need to stand up and start acting like the Christian you've been reared to be. Quit playing around. You know, there's some of you have very spiritual parents, but you act like an animal. You'd be shocked that you ever got any training of any sort. It's time to start living right. And I'm talking to both teenagers and adults. There's adults in here. You were trained better than the way you've been living. You got to get that straightened out. Stand up, Christian. Stand up. Stand up. Don't you let your fears destroy you. Let the Holy Spirit of God give you confidence and courage. Stand up, Christian. Stand up. Become an example. Don't become like the world. You're to be an example to the world. Stand up. Stand up, Christian. Don't let the discouragements of life, your work, and you feel like I'm not getting anywhere spiritually, you keep on going. You keep going. Don't stop, and don't let the discouragements of life stop you, Christian. Stand up. But you stand up in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't try to do it on your own. Submit yourself to Him and say, oh, God, help me. Help me. I'll throw this warning out. Every parent needs to listen. You come and talk to me about this. I don't want to talk to you about it personally. There's at least one parent in here. If you don't get a hold of your kids, you're going to have a mess on your hands like you would not believe. Your kids mock. I watch them as I preach. They laugh. They think it's a joke. When I look out and I see children that laugh at a man of God when he is truly, sincerely trying to help, that child is heading for trouble. Matter of fact, they're a more troubled parent than what you already realize. More than what you ought to already realize. And you ought to see it. You ought to see it. One more time through the song, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. I'll tell you this, I'm glad that when I was a young man, I sat under a preacher. When a teenager would mock in the service, my preacher just turned it into high gear. He didn't back down. He made it clear. He told them there's a right and a wrong way to live and a right and a wrong way to treat your parents and a right and a wrong way to do what you do. And I'm glad my pastor did not fear that. Say, Pastor, aren't you afraid of making some parent mad? No, I'm afraid they're going to let their kids self-destruct, struck right underneath their nose. And I didn't say anything. Stand up. In the power of the Holy Ghost of God, stand up and do the right thing.